Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to continue today to take a look at John's teaching from the Last Supper Discourse in John 13 through 17. I hope you've had a chance this week to take a look and just spend some time reading that amazing set of chapters, five chapters. Certainly the most intimate, lengthy conversation of Jesus with the apostles, Jesus with the Father, the most amazing revelation of the heart of Jesus, of his perception, of his perspective, the clarity of what he knew was happening, going to happen, his plan and strategy about how to help the apostles. He's giving them direct encouragement. He's preparing them for what they're going to undergo. He's really giving them confidence that they don't have to worry about anything that they're going to face. So, I mean, human beings, they're going to have to work their way through those trials, but it's really amazing to see. And then John 17, in the high priestly prayer, Jesus said he prays these things not only for the apostles, but for those who would hear his word. That's you and that's me. That's other people who are baptized into Christ. And so we're given here very important insight into the resources, the grace, the power, the promises, the plan, the teaching that Jesus wants to give his disciples so that we can thrive in any and all circumstances. Jesus' promises are true. You know, scripture said, God is not a man that he should lie. What Jesus says and promises, he intends to truly give us. But it's important to see what he underlines, especially in John 15, but in other places. The key to it all is to be living with him. And he defines what living with him is like. Living with him fundamentally begins with a full-hearted, wholehearted mind, will, spirit directed toward loving him first and living in obedience to him and having the relationship with him in his church, in his body, at the center of your life. That's the place where fruitfulness begins. It's another way of describing abiding in him each day. And so many times people don't come into the fruits of what Jesus promises, that, you know, the fruits happening in their lives and the promises of the Lord unfolding that they can confess and say, yeah, this is actually happening, just like the Lord said it would, because they're not all in. You know, Pope John Paul II, in his encyclical, I think it is, or an apostolic letter, I think it's an encyclical called Mission of the Redeemer. He focuses on the church's fundamental mission, its reason for being, to fulfill the Great Commission to go make disciples of all nations. And in the context of it, he clarifies, you know, what is it, what's at the heart of the Great Commission? What is it that we're doing? And he's echoing Paul VI from his document. He said, when the church is stepping into its mission, what is it doing? It's proclaiming the gospel. Okay, what's the gospel? The gospel's the person of Jesus and what he said about the human situation and how humanity can find salvation. So when we're preaching that, communicating that, what is it we're seeking? We're seeking conversion. Okay, if we're seeking conversion, then he asks the question, what is conversion? And the conversion is that first step, that turning away from the world, away from self, surrendering to Christ as Lord, moving in that direction, being baptized into him. And St. John Paul II described it this way. He said it's a conversion is a faith. Let's ask the question first, what is faith? Faith is a first an acceptance, the grace to see and receive the teaching of Jesus in his church and to understand it and to believe it. And then it's trust, to radically entrust our lives to him, to become nomads of faith like Abraham was, you know, our father in faith, to start living a life by faith in God. That's profound trusting in him. It's not just holding a set of principles in my mind or a creedal statement in my mind and saying, okay, that's true. It's not only that, it's surrendering totally to the kind of relationship and mission and communion that he's calling all of his followers to do. I'm going to lean on you in such a way, I'm going to live my life, I'm going to build my whole existence as if you didn't live, my life would make no sense, Lord. I mean, I'm going to live in such a way that my life only makes sense with you. You, that is, with you being who you said you are. If you're not, then my life makes no sense. So that's what the Holy Fathers was pointing to. And he said, so it's, first of all, conversion is a faith which from the beginning or from the outset, he said, is total and radical. It's amazing when you think about it. What does normal Catholic life look like? What's healthy Catholic life, Christian life? What does it look like? A converted human being, heart, soul, mind, and will, turn to God from the outset with a total and a radical commitment to God, to Christ. That's not just for the few. That's normal. That's standard fare. That's what it means. That's how he defined it. He said, so we're seeking conversion. That's at the start of the game. Does it mean that everything's in total order at that time? No, but your intentions, your heart has now been given. I'm all in. I'm all in. And I'm going to stumble because I'm weak. I'm broken. But I know I can keep coming back to him because of the grace and the help that he wants to give me. And so thinking about that, continuing to press into kind of the teaching of Jesus from John's gospel here. He talks in John 14 in particular about sending the paraclete. Who's the paraclete? The helper, the Holy Spirit. You know, it's another word for paraclete is helper, counselor, comforter, advocate. So when Jesus, I'm going to give you my spirit, this is what he means. I'm giving you really the one who was Jesus's comforter, the one who counseled and led Jesus, the one who comforted Jesus, who advocated for him and who helped him and anointed him for everything that he was to live in and walk in. You know, there's five passages about the Spirit as our helper. You know, John 14, 16, John 15, 26, John 16, 7 and 8, John 16, 13 and 14. And it's very, very clear, friends, that what the Christian life is fundamentally is it's a new life in the Spirit. How does Christianity differ from every other kind of philosophy, worldview, religion on the planet? Because it's Christianity and Christianity alone through which someone comes into a saving relationship with Jesus, who is alone the Savior of the world, who is the Son of God made man, and through whom and in whom we receive, because of his life, passion, death, and resurrection, the gift of the Holy Spirit, enabling us in baptism to become a child of God and to have this indwelling presence that Jesus is promising here, the helper, the counselor, the comforter. It comes through a relationship with Jesus. And this is not what every other religion in the world is distributing or how they live. It's important to see that because people make the mistake today that, yeah, you know, basically all religions are the same pretty much. They're all kind of focused on values and, you know, values, you know, are important. And there's kind of a consensus about those values, like be nice to people, don't harm anybody, treat other people the way you want to be treated, stuff like that. Well, there's some truth to that for sure. But that's just a small piece. The centerpiece is, and what Christianity is not just saying here, here's some ideas about how you can be nicer. Here's some ideas of how you can be a better helper to people. No, Christianity is saying you need a new life. Why? Because you're dying in your sin. And Jesus has come to give you access to existence beyond death, new life in the Spirit here in this world, but a participation in the kingdom where I can live from the Spirit and do fruitful things in this world fully in the grace of the Holy Spirit. And then when I die, I don't have to be afraid of death. I don't have to be afraid of the powers that death wields over the human heart. I can be free to live the life of love that God's called me to in the Spirit. And there is in me a life principle, the eternal life of God in the person of God himself dwelling in me as in a temple. And through that life as a new creation, as being born again, I'm by his grace going to pass from death to life and share in what belongs to Jesus, his inheritance, which is a resurrection, a resurrected body, living in glory, and receiving eternal life and escaping eternal separation from God, eternal damnation. So that's amazing. That's the clarity that the Holy Spirit wants to bring to us. And those who are living that way and have that perspective are going to be rejected in this world. Because you have a worldview. You have a vision of reality. You have a prophetic understanding of reality that gives you insight into human life. And it's an insight and a set of conclusions and teaching Jesus made about human life that this world doesn't like. And so Jesus said, because I'm in you, you're going to be an enemy of the world at a very fundamental level. So the Holy Spirit then gives us grace. He works in us to renew our minds. He teaches us, Jesus said, he'll communicate to us everything the Lord has taught. He'll bring it to our memory. He'll give us the thoughts, the words, the deeds, the works of power that Jesus did and that express his life. So one of the things that you see clearly is the Spirit highlights God as the one who helps us love and obey his Son. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphan. I will come to you. That's John 14:15. You see Jesus' perspective? This is the Spirit of truth he's giving us, who's going to lead us to all truth. He's going to help us be convinced about Jesus, to see Jesus, and then he's going to birth love of God in us. And that love is rooted in the love that was in Christ, and the love that's in Christ is a love that just wants to abandon and obey God first above all things. That's not who we are naturally, friends. We're just not. Right? Our inclination with fallen human hearts is to be focused on myself, what I want. And I want other people to obey me. I want the world to revolve around me. I even want God to respond to my bidding, to my desires, to my designs for myself. The radical love of the Holy Spirit is that abandoned love that Jesus lived with as a man. And this is what he wants to give to us. It's so precious. It's the greatest thing. That's why Jesus could say, you know, the least in this world are going to be and could very easily be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I mean, we constantly celebrate, give ridiculous amounts of attention to, talk about to way too much, genuflect to, you know, the stars of the world. You know, we big heroes, people with big money, big success, big companies, big sports stars, big musicians, artists, and ordinary people, you might say natural in this world to think about folks like that, to be entertained by them, and we appreciate it. We see their gifts, and there's nothing wrong with that, but there's a way in which people are completely preoccupied by these folks to the point of diminishing of who they are themselves. Now, that's a somebody, and I'm a nobody. That's not what the kingdom of God is like. The greatest in the kingdom of God are those who are most radically in love with Christ and living in obedience to him, and probably those people you don't even recognize in this world. It all gets turned on its head because this is not the kingdom and doesn't live by the values of the kingdom. And in our hearts, we often don't value what is most valuable. We'll continue to talk about this tomorrow. Hope you can join us. God bless.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.